And the manager calls, oh, sorry. I did not know Sonia's name the entire time. They never once really say it. So I just kept calling her the manager until I looked it up, and then I went through and I
and changed it. Yeah. I don't think I knew what her name was either, I'm realizing.
Uh-huh.
And welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood bads.
Bollywood bads who are trying to make it big or have already made it big, who exist in this reality or don't.
Yeah.
Any and all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Some people are themselves. Some people are other people.
Yeah. But everyone is in this show.
Yeah. I know, it's kind of fun to think about who we haven't seen yet.
I know. Yeah, it'll be exciting to see when certain folks pop up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, overall thoughts on the first four episodes of The Bads the of first... Bollywood.
Yeah, the first four episodes. So first of all, just want to say that we unintentionally chose a great ending. Like the fact that we ended on the fourth episode instead of the third, I was like, ooh, this is like a cliffhanger.
It was a good, it was a good cliffhanger, yes.
Mm-hmm. All in all, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
And that actually is a step above fine for me, to be clear.
Sure.
Like, I actually am interested in the storyline. Like, not super interested, but like, yeah, I don't mind continuing this. Like, I'm not dreading it. I'm kind of like, yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, specifically with Osman, like, I'm rooting for him.
Hmm.
Which I feel like you're not rooting for him, so I'm interested to hear about that. But I did just have one main thought, which is, it strikes me that this was created to try to be, like, edgy.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that the way to be edgy is to add the F word consistently and then to be like kind of having, like, for lack of a better term, like crass jokes and things. Like, that makes me sound so prudish, but like, you don't just say the F word a lot and talk about sex and be like, boom, we're edgy,
right?
Love us,
right?
Like, you gotta be a little more clever than that. And this is not clever.
I agree completely. I was surprised at, you know, I didn't read reviews. I didn't want to spoil anything.
Right.
I just sort of scrolled through, like, you know, the top reviews on IMDb and, like, read the headings. And there were so many people who were like, oh, it's so smart. It's so clever. It's, like, excellent satire. And I'm like, satire?
Is it?
I do not see satire here. Like, is the satire in the room with us now? Like, it just, it's...
Yeah.
It was not what I was expecting. I think I was expecting a dark comedy. I was expecting something that was kind of over the top, hyperbolic. Like, people are, you know, the cameos are caricatures of themselves in this way where, like, when you blow something out of proportion like that, it kind of reveals a truth.
Yeah.
And and it just was kind of like, meh. And I think I would say, I think I'm at fine. Like, I'm I'm not excited to keep watching. Mm-hmm. I, you know, I watched the first two episodes and then you and I briefly chatted, not in depth, but, you know, touched base a little bit. And then I watched the second two episodes and I was not looking forward to watching the second two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess now I am a little more curious to find out what happens, especially because, like, for all I know, the last three episodes are incredible. And that's where the satire and the dark comedy and the hyperbole comes into play. But I'm not super hopeful. And also, just to clarify about Osman, it's not that I'm not rooting for him. I just think he doesn't really have much of a character.
He doesn't. He's just like a guy.
Yeah, but he's also, like, not, as far as I can tell, supposed to be, like, a foil for the audience. Like, or not a foil, but you know what I mean? Like a...
But, like, a
stand-in for the audience.
Yeah, like a canvas that the audience can paint themselves into. Yeah. Right,
And we'll talk about it as we go through, but just, like, I mean, one, he's kind of dumb. He kind of puts himself in this position and
in
not
bad
in a
situations.
And
yeah.
not in a way that, like, you would think, oh, because he's new, he doesn't understand the industry. more in just like a he was kind of selfish and dumb. And then he's also just kind of a jerk. Like,
he is. And then he keeps getting rewarded for his jerkish behavior.
Yeah. And I'm sort of like, am I supposed to like him for these things? Because I don't.
Right. It's like he's putting on a character in that because he's actually like a sweet boy.
Is he though? Like, I don't even know. Like, I think maybe in some ways he is, but I think there's this weird thing where, like, sometimes he's this, like, tough, gritty, like, will fight if he doesn't get his way and, like, doesn't care who gets in his way. And then other times he's supposed to be sort of, like, sweet and naive and kind. And I'm like, I think he would have made a much better thing if he'd been one or the other.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
It is a little all over the place.
He's underdeveloped. Yeah, and I don't think it's as good as I thought it was going to be. I had higher expectations, even though I was trying to keep my expectations low. Like,
yeah. See, and I think maybe that's, I had zero expectations. You know, I just kind of was like, okay. I mean, I also, some of the cameos to me make sense.
Yeah.
Like, the Karan Johar, like, Karan's actually a character.
Yes, yeah.
In this show. It makes sense to me that he's here, and honestly, I'm loving him.
I think he's great. Also, I was kind of expecting him to, again, be, like, a caricature of himself, but I'm like, I could totally just see this being the way Karan Johar does things. Like,
that's also so
true. It doesn't seem and, like, Ranveer, too, I'm like, okay, sorry, not to get ahead of ourselves, but it's, like, two of the most, like, larger-than-life personalities that you kind of think of in this industry are our two first cameos, and it was just sort of like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ranveer stuff, by the way, I kept it in my recap because I'm still like, is that?
Maybe.
Is that gonna come back?
I know, yeah.
Because it feels like it could be something.
Well, I fully expected it to, too, because I knew that there was going to be a cameo from Rajmouli. So, when Ranveer references, I was like, surely that's going to be a tie-in. And again, maybe but it still will be, but hasn't been yet.
Yeah. Who knows? But it does kind of just feel like the cameos are, like, poorly placed cherries on top of a cake.
Yeah.
It, you know?
It's sort of...
Like, it's just... they're extra. I'm like, you don't... This isn't doing anything.
It sort of feels like instead of having it done with much intentionality, it was sort of done as like, who's available on the day that we happen to be filming?
Right. It feels like a Nepo baby, like, fun project.
Yeah. Look at all my friends.
Right.
Look at all the people I can get to be in my show.
Right. Is fine. But when you're also kind of trying to, like, step out on your own.
Yeah.
In doing that, and you're also then trying to point a lens at nepotism in Bollywood, it's kind of confusing.
And I think that was what I thought was going to happen, was that he was going to be doing like, okay, look, I have every advantage in the world. I'm going to use it to make like a biting, sharp, clever criticism of the industry. And to not launch, because he was already launched, but to be like the second big... maybe it's not the second either, sorry, I've learned some things about Lakshya and now I'm getting confused about my timeline, but like, he's not a huge actor, he did not debut all that long ago in his first film, and so it's like, okay, I think you're doing something good here, you're doing something good with your power, which is what everybody wants from people who have unearned power,
right? Yeah.
And yet I don't think it came through. It didn't actually do what it maybe set out to do or claimed it was going to do. So, and I'm saying it, I mean Arian Khan, but like it as in the project.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's get into our cast. This was obviously directed by Arian Khan. We've been talking about it for a while.
Yeah, so everyone knows. Know
that. Surprise. And it stars Bobby Deol as Ajay, who is the top listed, which, you know what? He deserves it.
He's great.
He's doing great.
I can never look at him and not see Charles Boyle from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, he and that actor are identical. Yeah, jacked Charles Boyle. Yeah.
Bearded.
Who wears his pants really, really high up on his body.
Yeah. Yes. And Lakshya plays Osman. Then we have Sahir Bamba as Karishma, Anya Singh as Sanya, Manish Chaudhry, who plays Freddy, and then Manoj Pawa, who plays Avtar. So, episode one, Meet the Bads.
Mm-hmm.
We open on a film set with a stunt gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Where this guy falls and breaks his leg.
His whole body.
His whole body.
I think that guy's dead.
Why didn't they have, like, cushions?
Cushions there? Or, like, any sort of safety equipment. Like,
or, yeah.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
It was dumb.
Yeah. And so the director of this movie calls for a doctor, and he says that they need the backup stuntman. But, oh no, this was the backup stuntman, which means this happened before.
Yeah.
And they still didn't add any safety measures.
Yep.
And then the head investor of this film, Freddie, arrives on set saying that filming was supposed to wrap up 10 days ago, and he threatens everyone if this movie doesn't come out on the date originally planned. The director says they must have this one jump to lead to the climax of the film, but they have no one to do it. And that's when the main actor, Osman, volunteers to do the stunt himself. And he does! Mm-hmm. And it's cool.
This is such a weird... Like, why is this, like, a great opportunity for their lead actor? Like, he's already the lead actor. Was this just trying to, like, spin a trope on its head? But I don't know.
You're still viewing it as, like, the commentary of the show.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of stupid.
It is stupid.
I think, a more interesting story could have been, like, this guy was a stuntman who became a big actor, like, got his big break and became a big actor. But instead, it's our main actor, who's already going to be super famous in this movie. Kind of cool that he did this one stunt himself, and it sort of ends up meaning nothing.
I guess maybe it's showing, like, he has nothing to lose, but by this point, he does have things to lose.
Yeah,
he could break his body and not be able to star in this film.
Right, yeah.
So... that's a good point. I don't know. I kind of was just like, whatever.
That's fair. Yeah.
But we get a scene of this movie where Osman crashes in through the ceiling and beats up a bunch of comically evil looking bad guys. And part of this is that he catches a bullet in his teeth.
Yeah, I did like that.
That was fun. Yeah, I liked that too. Then we see this movie called Revolver end in a theater where everyone starts cheering. And Osman is there in the crowd wearing a hoodie, but another guy recognizes him, so he has to run to escape the crowd. Also, they like rip his pocket off his hoodie.
Yeah, not nice.
No. He meets up with his friend Parvaz, who immediately introduces him to three other sketchy guys, who reveal that a guy named Ghafoor in Dubai has seen Revolver and loved it.
Ghafoor?
I did like that.
I did like
We're going to talk about that, but I did like that. That there are a few moments where I'm like, eh.
There are moments where I feel like what this was trying to be shines through, and it's like, ooh, that's really good, but then it just, the rest of it's just, not there.
Yeah. We then see a man performing as a backup singer at an event, but he shows up the lead singer and then gets kicked out. This is Osman's uncle, Avtar, whom he's living with in Mumbai. And Avtar is my heart. I love him. I also love this actor. I forget what else we've seen him in, but we've definitely seen him.
He's in Dil Dhadakne Do, which I remember because of how many times I've watched Galan Gudeon, where he is there. And I think he was also in Jigra with Ali Abad.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Was he the guy? He was the guy, the retired police officer who helped her. Or maybe he wasn't a retired
he was the dad of one of the guys who's in there. Yeah,
it's like I saw his face and immediately just wanted to hug him, and I was like, I know I've seen you before.
You give me warm fuzzy feelings.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Osman gets home only to find out that his parents are visiting. And Osman and Parvez sit down to watch a big movie critic review Revolver, but the review is not favorable.
No.
Osman angrily turns the TV off, saying this critic only caters to Nepo babies. Then it's time for the release party. We see Freddie acting like a total scumbag, which is pretty consistent through this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not movie, show. Through this show.
This piece of media.
Yep. But then Osman and his family walk the carpet to cheers, and Karan Johar is there, and then Ranveer Singh with a broken leg.
Yeah.
And Ranveer and Karan have a sassy exchange about, like, Karan's upcoming movie. And Freddy tells Osman that he wants to introduce him to someone, Ajay Talwar. Ajay is clearly a massive superstar. It's funny, I think of him as being like the Shah Rukh Khan of this series, but in this world, Shah Rukh Khan exists.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing.
He's just like another guy of that caliber. It's like, yes, you know, he's another Salman Khan or another whoever else. Yeah.
Yes. And Ajay tells Osman that the world will be his one day. Freddy dismisses Osman, then asks Ajay if he's read the script. Ajay says he has, but he's not sure about it. And this is not what Freddy wants to hear, but he lets Ajay continue on into the party. At this party, Ranveer gets a call about Bahubali, and it becomes clear that his leg is fine.
I was just going to say, I don't think he's getting a call about Bahubali. I think he just gleefully says Bahubali because SS Rajmouli is the one who's calling him. But
right.
But, you know, it's the association.
So Ranveer confirms that his leg is fine when he tells Rajmouli that the broken leg is just a rumor. And as he's doing that, a random guy is recording himself with Ranveer in the background. He asks Ranveer if he can have a selfie, and Ranveer agrees. He asks the selfie guy if he was recording the whole time, and the guy gleefully says yes.
Is the selfie guy not Parvez?
I didn't think so. Is it?
I totally thought it was. I thought it was. But I have no idea, but as I was watching it, I just assumed that it was.
Yeah.
I didn't know exactly what the characters look like yet, so I could be wrong.
Maybe Parvez, maybe not.
This selfie guy who may or may not be Parvez.
Yes. So he says yes, he was recording the whole time. So Ranveer makes a grab for his phone, but this guy shoves it down his pants. And Ranveer ends up offering this guy his watch in exchange for deleting the video. The guy deletes the video, and Ranveer tells him to delete the video from his deleted folder, or he'll track him down and delete him.
Yeah.
Okay. That might come back, but also it might not.
Yeah, we'll find out, I guess.
But also, Ranveer looked great.
He did look great. Yeah, he always does.
Yeah, not a surprise. Meanwhile, Freddy offers Osman a 3-film deal. Mm-hmm. And Osman's manager, Sonia, tells Osman not to be in a hurry to sign anything because it's an exclusive deal. And if the first movie tanks, then he might not get the promised 2 other films. She makes him promise not to sign anything until she does her due diligence. Osman goes back to Freddy and tells him this, and Freddy acts offended. So Osman asks for a pen, which is just stupid. He didn't have to do this.
I know. It's like, stand firm, dude. It's like just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he signs the contract as Sonia approaches Karan Johar. Karan tells her that Ranveer has dropped out and he needs an actor who can carry a 100 crore film. Mm. She convinces Karan that if he goes with Osman, the film will be thought of as a Karan Johar film, not an Osman film. True.
Yeah.
He's kind of into that. At that exact moment, Osman approaches the critic who didn't like his film because his acting wasn't convincing, and he breaks a bottle pretending that he's going to stab him. Mm-hmm. The critic panics, and Osman stops right before he hits him, asking him if his acting was convincing enough. Everyone around him seems to love this show, and Osman walks away feeling good about himself. But Karan tells Sonia that he likes Osman, but not enough.
He's not convinced.
Yeah, and this was also like, part of me is like, good for him, and then part of me is like, that's not great. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, a lot of broken glass on that floor now.
Walking on broken glass. Just like that.
It's such a happy tune.
It is.
A not happy lyrics.
For what would be very painful, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, a guy rolls up to the party, and this I'm still confused about. Like, don't know how this ties into everything, but I maybe we'll find out. But this guy says that he's part of NCG and drugs have ruined this country. He starts to yell at the DJ, Adam, who is outside smoking a joint, but Adam says, hey, I'm not part of Bollywood. So he points this guy toward another actor, saying, he is. And it's the other young hotshot actor, Vastav. So this guy rounds up Vastav and puts him in his car to arrest him and then drives away.
I sort of assumed that this and then the way that the episode ends is commentary on what happened to Arian Khan being arrested.
Oh, right. That would make sense. So the next day, Freddie arrives at his production house to find one of his investors waiting for him in his office. This guy tells him that Vastav was arrested, which means that the movie he was going to star in, which was like the fifth movie of a franchise, is now in jeopardy. Freddie says that he'll take care of it, but this investor says that he's worried about the future of the production house. Freddie tells him that things will improve with Salab 2, the sequel to their original hit film starring Ajay that came out, you know, several decades ago. Freddie lies to this investor and tells him that Ajay is a done deal for the sequel. And after the investor leaves, Freddie tells his assistant that they need to sign Ajay as soon as possible. At Osman's home, his mom reprimands him for the stunt he pulled at the party with the broken bottle. She says that to succeed in this industry, you need to show respect, but Avtar disagrees, saying that respect never got him anywhere in his career. This devolves into a whole argument that Osman ends up escaping with Sonia to go to the round table hosted by the film critic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At this round table, Osman speaks about his background and how he got discovered, but the critic mostly focuses on the Nepo babies at the table, specifically Ajay's daughter, Karishma. The critic asks her about nepotism just as Ajay himself walks onto the set to watch, and she responds that her name has opened a lot of doors, but she has to work twice as hard to maintain her own identity. Osman snickers at this and then says that she can go years without working and nothing changes for her, but for him, he would need to go back to Delhi. He then says that she's grown up in her father's shadow and he's asking her to step out of it. Then she'll see how hot it is. That, I did like that.
That is a good line. I did. There's like a whole thing where he says that like she has more to lose, but like some of us have nothing to lose. So we're like out there. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was such a weird thing to say because I was like, I actually think that it's the opposite. She has nothing to lose and you have everything to lose.
Yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't as clever as I think it was supposed to be.
I agree with that. I mean, there's a reason I cut that part out of my recap.
I just wanted to address it because I was like hearing it like, this is clearly supposed to, again, I feel it is supposed to be like this biting commentary about the industry and it's just like, no.
Right, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost like if you are a Nepo baby, maybe it's hard to have the perspective of a non-Nepo baby.
Wow. Yeah. Even though you might think like, no, I can imagine what that's like. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Osman continues to be sassy to Karishma as Ajay watches on, but it works for him because right after the roundtable airs, Karan Johar calls Sonia and tells her he'll sign Osman for his film, and they start in a month. Yay!
Well, yeah.
So, yeah. Everyone is celebrating, but then Sonia learns that Osman signed Freddie's contract.
Mm-hmm.
And right at that moment, Freddie calls and tells Osman that he is taking the place of Vastav. Oh boy. That's the end of the episode.
I did like that. I don't remember how they made this comeback that because Vastav got arrested and it says like say no and he's like say no to drugs. And I thought that was pretty iconic.
Yes.
I did. I applaud that. That was funny.
Yeah, that was good. So yeah, then we have episode 2, Movie Mafia. We open on Osman and Sonia waiting to meet with Freddie to discuss the contract. They tell him about the deal with Karan Johar, and Freddie says Osman can do the film, but after this, he'll belong to Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
On the way back home, Parvez tells Osman that he's making a mistake by not replacing Vastav. Osman also turns down an ad opportunity for a lotion, saying that it will make him look like an idiot. Meanwhile, Avtar has been inspired by Osman's success to go back to making his own music. But just as he's starting, the phone rings. It's Osman's mom calling to tell Avtar that Osman's dad's condition is worsening and she may have to sell the house to pay for his liver transplant. She makes Avtar promise not to tell Osman. Of course, in the next scene, Avtar tells Osman. So Osman agrees to do the lotion commercial, Man Smooth, to make money for his dad.
This lotion is so gay. Like it's literally shaped like a man's like powerful body, and it has
It very
like
much
a
is.
pretty significant bulge. It's like so, yeah, it's just, it's incredible.
It is. It is. But yeah, so Osman and Sonia go to Dharma Productions for their first meeting with Karan about the film, but he encounters Karishma in the elevator. It turns out that they're going to be co-stars. And Karan has a plan for them to pretend to have fallen madly in love after the round table as a marketing ploy. So Osman and Karishma walk out together, and Karishma's boyfriend Samir arrives to give her a ride home. The paparazzi swarm them as she opens the car door, and one guy makes a comment about her like getting a ton of plastic surgery. And Osman doesn't like this, so he slaps the camera away and confronts the cameraman. Karishma gets in the car and drives away, but she's mad at Samir for how he reacted in that situation, which was simply to tell Karishma to get in the effing car. Great.
Which swearing at her is maybe rude, but I also just like, I don't know. I don't admire Osman for being a hothead
No.
and like getting
And being like
violent.
physical.
Yeah. I also wrote down here, like, I feel like the fact that we, like, the movie is kind of trying to make him like the everyman, you know? Again, like, sort of being that, like, the audience can relate to him. But I think it's a mistake that we didn't meet him before he was famous. Like, we have not seen any of his struggle. We have not seen anything to suggest that, like, you know, this is his passion and he's like fighting for his passion or anything like that. He's just already in a hit in a film and then becomes really famous. And so it's just, I think that that was a mistake. I think we needed to see like some more of his reality before he gets the movie to like actually find him sympathetic, in my opinion.
I think that's a really good point because then we would at least have like been rooting for him while he was going through some of his toughest struggles.
Yeah. 'Cause as it is, I feel like he kind of just comes across as entitled. And I wrote this down later when we see it, but like we see him go to his home and he's from like a looks like he's from a pretty affluent family. It does not look like his
They're not like
family.
poor.
Yeah, like they're struggling to pay dad's medical bills, but medical bills are expensive, so like that's fair, but it does not look like it looks like he had a pretty healthy, comfortable upbringing and then became famous when he was pretty young. Like, I don't know. It's sort of like, okay, cool. Good for you, guy.
I agree with that. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
So we see Osman's lotion commercial, which is something. And as he's leaving that set, there's a joint cameo of Amir Khan and Raj Mouli talking about food, which is kind of fun, but like, what are we doing?
I did actually really like this because it felt very like classic
Real.
Bollywood to me. Like it felt like the comedy of them, like the sort of dramatic irony of the two characters standing back being like, oh, I bet they're having a really, really interesting conversation. Like two like mega stars in the industry. And then they're just like, okay, which of these foods do you like
Yeah, that's true.
Like that, so I appreciated it for that reason.
In Osman's dressing room, Avtar plays the new song he's worked on, but someone else comes by in the middle of it and calls it ancient, saying that it makes his ears bleed. This makes me sad.
That someone being Badshah.
Right, whom I don't know. I'm sure I've heard his work.
I think so. But yeah, he's
You know, I've had a few moments in this show where I'm like, I get that that's a famous person, and I get that I don't know them.
I'm gonna guess that there's another one of those coming up in the next episode,
Very
and
shortly.
I recognized their name, and you will probably remember something when I jog your memory about them.
Okay. I do like that person's face, though, I will say that. Sonia tries to offer Avtar some tips to make his song better, but he storms out of the dressing room, saying, "One song goes bad and everyone is out to teach me." And he kind of like throws away the hard drive that the song was on.
Yeah.
Then we see Ajay call Karan to talk about the casting choice. He says that Ranveer is the better choice than having two newcomers as the stars, but Karan disagrees. After they hang up, Ajay talks to his wife about it. She asks if Karishma should even do the film, and Ajay says no. But Karishma overhears them and says that this is her life and her decision. And we also learn that her brother is literally the worst person on the
He's
planet.
so obnoxious.
He's obnoxious. Like, Ajay hates him.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. Yeah. I would, too, if he were my son. He seems like kind of a jerk.
Yeah. Everyone ends up at the airport because they're all traveling to Delhi. Karishma and the rest of her family so that Ajay can accept an award, and Osman so that he can be home for his dad's liver transplant. Karishma thanks him for dealing with the paparazzi, but then Osman's flight gets called and he has to go. Mm-hmm. Osman surprises his parents by showing up for dinner, and he hands his mom the cash he made from the commercial. Osman then goes for a walk with his dad, where he tells him to keep him updated about his illness because he worries. But as he's with his dad, Freddie calls and tells Osman that he needs him back in Mumbai. Osman tells his dad this, and his dad reminds him to keep his head up and remember who he is, because plenty of people will try to bring him down.
It's very Mufasa. Yeah. Who you are.
Oh, man. On the film set, Freddie calls his production designer a fatty and is overall really disgusting to her. And she quits and yells at him about harassment, but then Freddie kicks her in the chest and knocks her out because he, quote, would never raise a hand against a woman. What is this?
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, I get why you, like, I don't think it's a good choice, but I understand why you would have your, like, somebody who you want to kind of show as a villain fat shame somebody, because like that's bad. Yeah. And villains do bad things, but they had this sound effect that they were putting
right,
in
that
there
that made it seem like they were making fun of the woman.
Yeah, like, oh, see, but it's funny, it's comedy. And so I was like, okay, so yeah. Am I supposed to think that this is funny because the sound effect is suggesting yes?
And it was like an elephant trumpeting,
right? And I'm like, what am I supposed to take away from this scene? Like,
yeah.
And it's just a setup for what happens next, which I also
right
want to complain about.
Was, yeah. So yes, what happens next? Osman arrives in time to see this, and then he talks to Freddie. Freddie tells him he needs him for his movie, so he needs to quit Karan's film. Osman refuses, and Freddie says that he made Osman, so he will destroy him and his entire family. Osman obviously doesn't like this, so he tears up the contract he'd signed with Freddie. Freddie goes to hit Osman, but Osman knocks him to the ground, then says he would never raise a hand to a woman either, as, like, justification for why he won't hit Freddie. So then we're also being like, well, yeah, being called a woman is an insult.
Exactly!
Which, you came into this world because of a woman, okay? Yeah. So,
I just, like, Aryan Khan is, like, a young guy. I feel yeah. like he should know better than this kind of yeah. comedy and some of the other stuff that comes up later. And I just, I'm like, was there some sort of intentionality behind including this? I'm not convinced that he is a smart enough writer to do this in a way that, like,
right.
actually does have an impact other than just, like, perpetuating,
like stereotypes.
Bigotry and
yeah. 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 Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway. Okay, moving on. Episode 3. Barbad Mohabbat. We open on Sanya scolding Osman for his behavior. Good.
Fair.
She tells him he's in a tough spot with Freddie now, and she asks him what Karan has said about it. Osman hasn't told him yet, but he's about to head to a workshop for the Karan film in Goa. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Everything happens in Goa.
Yeah.
Anything goes in Goa. Really.
Both of those things.
In Goa, Karan calls Osman and asks him if the 3-film deal he signed with Freddie is exclusive. Osman says he talked to Freddie and it's all sorted, but Karan can tell that something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Mumbai, Avtar is sitting by the ocean, thinking about the mean things that were said about his music. But then, Jiraj Saxena taps him on the shoulder. So now some background, because originally I wasn't including him, but then it became apparent I had to. Jiraj is an actor who signed a deal with Freddie and tried to get out of it, and he hasn't been able to find work for 15 years because Freddie is holding it over him.
Yeah.
So throughout this, Osman's like, oh, I don't want to be the next Jiraj Saxena.
Yeah, he's like a victim of the thing that Sonia mm-hmm. is trying to tell him not to become a victim of.
Yes. So Jiraj recognizes Avtar as Osman's uncle, but Avtar tries to walk away. He then hears a song being played, and he walks toward it to find some young men dancing. He recognizes it as his song, mm-hmm. and he asks them where they got it. They say YouTube, and then they start, like, trying to start a fight with him, which don't.
Why?
And just as it looks like a fight might actually break out, Jiraj throws a basketball straight at one of the boys' faces, and it bounces back into his hand, and he crushes it,
yeah.
which is enough to intimidate the boys and make them run away.
Pretty Good. Impressive, yeah. yeah.
It is, it is. Avtar and Jiraj end up talking, and Avtar asks Jiraj if he's tired of losing for 15 years. Jiraj says you can't lose if you never give up, which is... That's nice.
I'm almost like more interested in these two characters and their story yeah, than I am in Asma's story.
That's fair. And like, I'm interested to see what happens with Jiraj. Like, yeah. I don't know what Jiraj's plan is, but it's something.
I don't know if Jiraj knows what Jiraj's plan is.
That's so true. Avtar then runs home to talk to Sonya, and he accuses her of working with this guy on YouTube to steal his music. She just hands him a check for his share, then explains that she took the song he threw away and reached out to DJ Adam, the DJ from the party, who remixed it and uploaded it to YouTube with Avtar's name attached. She thinks Avtar and DJ Adam should collaborate, and she forces them to shake hands because Adam is here too, and he's like baking cookies or something.
He's kind of just lurking all over the place.
Yeah. So, in Goa, Osman and Karishma are going through exercises with their intimacy coordinator, Amran Hashmi.
Yes. So, I recognized this guy's name because they referenced it earlier when Parvez is like, obsessed with him. And mm-hmm. I wrote down, is this the kissing guy? And yes. So then when he showed up, I was like, oh, obviously that's... Because I didn't recognize him at first, but then I put it together when Parvez is, again, obsessed with him. But so... Back when I did research on kissing in Bollywood, yeah. you may remember reference to an actor who was known as the serial kisser. And that's this guy.
It's him.
So he, yeah. And I like Googled it to remind myself. And yeah, like he did all this kissing in all of these movies. He was kind of like typecast as the guy who would kiss people in movies. But he was like, I didn't really want to be doing that. I like kind of got pigeonholed into being the guy who kisses people. So yeah, that's this guy.
that's funny. Okay. That's amusing.
Yeah.
That they chose him to be the intimacy coordinator.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that background. I do appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So they're not doing well, Osman and Karishma. But we then get a montage of them doing various activities to bond. And they're starting to maybe like each other.
There's a spark.
Mm-hmm. Amran ends up yelling at them and blaming Karishma for being unable to work hard since she's used to her servants doing everything. Osman stands up for her, and then he and Karishma end up having a heart-to-heart. And then they end up mirroring each other, which is exactly what they were supposed to do in the exercise. Mm-hmm. And they're about to kiss, and that's when Amran interrupts them. He says that he was purposely being harsh so that the two of them would unite against him, and it worked.
Yay.
Yay. Sonya calls Osman to tell him that Freddy has hired the best lawyers to go after him for breach of contract. Osman asks Karishma if she knows any good lawyers, and she tells him to talk to Karan, and then he'll fix it. Osman says that he can't, because Karan is her uncle, not his. So Karishma calls Karan, and he agrees to meet with Osman to take care of the Freddy problem. Karishma tells Osman about this, and he's upset, because he thinks Karan will just throw him out. So they get into this huge argument, and things get so heated that Karishma starts to choke on a fishbone, which people really don't notice. Until it's been a while, which, okay. But Osman gives her the Heimlich and saves her, but we see a paparazzi hiding in the bushes taking video of this. Now, I am now viewing this from, like, the lens of, like, maybe the commentary here is that, like, just how ridiculous it is for certain things to be blown out of proportion. Like, you know, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that it was going to be more a thing of, like, oh, he saved her life. They,
yeah, me
like,
too.
That's kind of what I thought they were going to do, but then it's way stupider than that.
Yeah, yeah. So Karishma's family has Samir's family over for dinner as they wait for Karishma's plane to get in from Goa. Karishma's brother turns the news on, which is showing footage of Osman, quote-unquote, dry-humping Karishma. in public in a restaurant, like, where it looks like she's choking and it looks like he's performing the Heimlich maneuver.
Like, literally anybody could tell that that's what's happening. Like, this was just, it was so stupid.
It was. And Ajay and his wife try to downplay it, but Samir is upset and so are his parents. And they leave before dinner is served. So Ajay vows that he'll fix this. Mm-hmm. Next, we see Osman arrive at Karan's office, and Karan tells him that he has 24 hours to sort out his contract or he's out of the film.
Yeah.
Karishma was like, oh no, he'll take care of it, but
nope.
Osman was right there. Yeah. Karishma gets back home to some angry parents, and her mom accuses her of grinding with Osman, and Karishma furiously tells them that she could have died because she was choking, and Osman, in fact, saved her. Then she storms off.
Which,
yeah, it's so stupid.
It's also, like, it's 2025. She could have just gone on TikTok Live and been like, hey, guys, we weren't dry humping. Yeah. I was choking.
That's so true.
And fixed the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Osman meets with Sonia about the contract, and she tells him that it's watertight. The only way out is if Freddy lets him out. Parvez hears this and then says he's going out for a massage. Mm. At the massage parlor, Freddy is getting a massage, and he tells his assistant that he wants Osman to be blacklisted from film forever. Then, the three sketchy gang guys from the first episode appear, threatening him to sign the papers that they're holding, or else. Freddy tries to escape, which I do appreciate his plan to escape involved, like, pouring lotion, like oil, all over himself to make himself slippery.
I thought that was very funny, the way he slides through. And then I was picturing, this wasn't really what happened, but I thought they were going to, like, grab at him and he was just going to, slip through.
That was good.
It was.
Mm. But they do catch him and he signs the papers. Freddy then meets with Ajay, who tells him that this is not the launch he wanted for his daughter. Ajay says that their deal was simple. Osman doesn't do Karan's film, and Ajay will do Freddy's. Mm. So now we know why Freddy kind of went back on what he had told Osman. But now Ajay outright refuses to work with Freddy, and he's super mad about Osman being in the film with Karishma.
Yes.
So.
I did feel like, you know, things are starting to pick up with this episode. I was feeling more invested. Yeah.
Yes. Good. Yes. Me too. And then episode 4 is Bullshit Party. We open on a bunch of people cheering for Gafur, the man that the gang guys mentioned in the first episode. Yeah, there's like a fun song and this guy just like calling Gafur.
This was very funny, and I was like, I thought the whole thing was going to be like this.
Yeah, it's good. Because there's a funny, this funny moment where this one guy is just shouting Gafur's name. And so at the end of the song, Gafur shoots him, saying he's been lying low for years, and here's this idiot just yelling his name.
Because
it's good.
I was like, I didn't realize the Gafurs were, like, happening in real life. It's like that guy is actually just shrieking his name again and again.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
And I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. At Osman's house, Parvez shows up and brings the papers that Freddy signed, and he tells Osman to sign it. And everyone celebrates. Mm-hmm. Yay. There was much rejoicing.
Yay.
Karishma is on her way out to meet with Osman and his friends when Ajay stops her and says she can't go because he's invited Samir over for dinner. She says okay, but then we see Ajay call Samir and tell him to come over for dinner. Ajay's getting crafty.
He is.
Meanwhile, Karan's people bring Avtar's song to his attention, so he reaches out to Sonia to set up a meeting with Avtar and Adam. Osman shows up at Karishma's house to pick her up so that they can run lines, since Karan has changed the script. Ajay sees this and convinces them to practice in the house with him instead, because he doesn't want to let them out of his sight.
Mm-hmm.
This is extremely uncomfortable for Osman because he's trying to act out conversations about sex with Karishma while Ajay is watching. And in the middle of this, a fan of Ajay climbs over the wall and lands in their yard, begging for a photo. Ajay takes a selfie with him, and Osman says it's incredible how much love people have for him. Ajay just says cryptically, love can be a dangerous thing.
I mean, yeah, we've seen Fan.
Oh, yeah, we have. Karishma walks Osman out and invites him to her birthday party, which they're both really smiley about.
Yeah.
And, like, I do like this romance happening. I do kind of feel like Karishma should be checking in with herself about this time and be like, I do have a boyfriend, but I did almost kiss this guy.
She's kind of your classic manipulated woman who doesn't, at many points so far in this story, seem to have her own agency. Which,
that's,
you know,
that's true.
Not through any fault of her own.
Yeah, at least Sonya, like, the manager, you know, she's cool.
She's cool, yeah.
Back with Freddy, he's really sad that his production house has gone under, and his final order is to let go of his assistant, whom he's always yelled at, but today, of all days, he's really nice to.
Yeah.
Which, I'm just like, you could have just been nicer all along.
Or anyway. You could have, like, white fanged him at the end and been mean to him so he wasn't sad he got fired.
Yeah. So the poor assistant is crying when his phone rings, and it turns out it's Draj, who is celebrating that the company went under. Draj asks the assistant why the company folded, and he explains the deal made between Freddy and Ajay. Draj has a plan. I don't know what his plan is.
No.
Osman arrives at Karishma's party, which is being hosted by Samir's parents. And we get a cameo from Salman Khan.
And he's like, weird and kind of creepy, and I was like, I bet that is the way Salman Khan would behave at a party.
Weird and kind of creepy,
and maybe that's rude, and like a little bit lecherous towards like the young actor, you know. So like, I don't know, that doesn't feel wrong maybe. To me.
Osman gifts Karishma with a silver spoon necklace, which is funny because he had originally said she had a silver spoon in her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little moment that Ajay witnesses, and he does not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Karishma is then called up onto stage for the cutting of the cake, which she does with Samir. But as they're cutting it, the knife hits a ring box.
Oh.
And uh-oh, Samir is proposing. Karishma looks over at Osman as this is happening, who looks heartbroken. But then she says yes to Samir. Karishma sees Osman leave as she's saying a few words, and she ends up mistakenly saying Osman's name instead of Samir's.
Yeah, pretty blatant there that you caught
not
the feels.
A good sign. Back at Osman's house, Sonya gets a phone call that Osman has been nominated for the Film First Best Actor Award.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Avtar then calls Draj and says he wants to meet with him right now. Which, I don't know what Avtar's plan is either. I don't know.
We'll find out.
Mm-hmm. At Karishma's house, she confronts Ajay because she learns that he asked Samir to propose to her. He says it was gonna happen anyway, but she's upset that she didn't have a say in the engagement. So she walks away crying.
Yeah.
Osman's crew goes out to a bar to celebrate his nomination. But the TV is showing a news report about Karishma's engagement, which makes Osman even sadder. And some guys at the bar see Osman being sad, and they start to make fun of him. So Osman knocks out the main guy, and he starts a bar fight that everyone gets involved in.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
It does get pretty crazy.
Yeah. I do love Parvez throwing plates at that guy. Like, he's just chucking plates at this one guy.
Except that the guy was, like, I'm not sure what his ethnicity was, but they were making, like, kung fu, like, jokes. This was, like, a second time in this movie that we were getting, like, racist jokes made towards people who are, like, Southeast Asian presenting. And,
yeah,
again, I'm just like, Arian Khan, what are you doing? Why are you putting this in here?
See, I think that's what's upsetting, because, like, I just saw, like, the plate chucking, and as I was writing it down, my brain kind of registered. I was like, what were those sound effects?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know what? But I didn't fully catch it. And here's the thing. The way that the plates were being chucked was very funny. Why did we need to add any of that?
Right.
Like, yeah.
That's funny enough. Yeah. You don't need to get racist with it.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately, Osman's crew is losing this fight, and Sonya calls for help. That is when Gafoor's goons show up,
mm-hmm.
and they help Osman win the fight. These gang guys then tell Osman that he now owes them two favors, one for this and one for the contract that Freddy signed. Mm-hmm. This is the first time Osman is hearing the details about that contract signing. So, okay, great. Parvez has gotten him into a situation that he did not know about. Then Karishma calls Osman and he tells her congratulations on the engagement. And she asks him if she's the only one feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And just as she's about to speak more, the gang guys throw a bag over Osman's head and wrestle him into a car. His phone falls to the ground as she says, "I think I love you." Uh-oh. Because that's the end.
Yeah. I will say, I am... as we're starting to get more into the, like, the underworld connections, the gangs and stuff, I'm like, okay, maybe we're heading somewhere that's going to be more fun and entertaining. Like, maybe it just took us a while to, like, get there. So I am hopeful.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, yeah, it's like the final three could really be something, you know?
They could, yeah. They could be great.
Or not.
Or not. We'll find out. We'll find
out. Yeah. So,
research. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, like I said, I didn't want to look up reviews for this week because I didn't want there to be any spoilers and everything. Instead, with the reference to the Film First Awards and with the fact that the Film Fair Awards happened just this past weekend, I thought I'd research the Film Fair Awards.
Ooh, it's funny. Originally, I had written Film Fair in my recap, and then I was like, oh, sorry, it's the film first.
But we all know.
But right, which then I'm like, okay, so you can use other references and mentions of Bollywood people, but you can't use the correct.
I do wonder if there's some sort of, like,
the award.
If there's some
licensing.
Yeah, maybe a licensing issue. You know, like how you're not allowed to talk about the Superb Owl.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, so first, some broad strokes history about the Film Fair Awards. This year, this past ceremony was the 70th Film Fair Awards, so big number there. They began in 1954 and have always been presented by the Times Group, which is the biggest media conglomerate in India. They own, among other things, the Times of India and Film Fair magazine.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yes. The awards were initially called the Clares after the film critic Claire Mendonca, who is considered one of the first film journalists in India, and she died in 1953. So the awards were originally named to honor her. Yes, she's a woman.
After a woman.
A woman.
Weak woman.
You'd never kick a, or you'd never hit a woman. Anyway.
I mean, like, I don't want to be hit, but, like, no. I can take it, okay?
I can take it. I've got a higher pain tolerance than men.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I'll hit back, okay? I'm not going to just be a wilted flower over here.
Yeah, no. That anyway. Whole thing was so crazy. Okay.
Don't hit me, though.
Don't, people. Please. Please
don't hit anyone, don't. Regardless of, like, gender.
Yeah, don't hit, just don't hit people. Don't hit people. Yeah. It's not hard. But I'm not sure when they changed the name from the Clares to the Film Fair Awards, but eventually that happened. Mm-hmm. Readers of the magazine Film Fair were asked to vote on films in five different award categories. So the original five were just best film, best director, best actor, best actress, and best musical director. Mm-hmm. And in case you were curious, Do Bigha Zameen and its director, Bimal Roy, were the first to win in their respective categories, film and director. Dilip Kumar was the first person to win best actor. Meena Kumari was the first person to win best actress. And Naushad Ali was the first person to win best musical director.
Okay.
For anyone who wants to file that away for an upcoming pub trivia.
Yeah.
Also interesting fun fact, Hollywood star Gregory Peck was invited to be the guest of honor at the first Film Fair Awards. And
that's awesome. Did he go?
Well, he would have attended, except that his flight was delayed. So he was not able to attend the award ceremony, but he did attend the banquet after.
Great.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
So starting in 1956, the awards introduced a dual voting system. So winners are chosen by both popular vote and a committee of experts. Winners of all of the popular awards are chosen by this dual system, but then it's just the expert committee who are the ones who decide on the critics' awards.
Mm-hmm.
More on this in a moment.
Okay.
Today there are right around 30 categories, and there have been things that have kind of come and gone over the years, but 30 categories in which one might win a Filmfare award, with additions like supporting actors, playback singers, best debuts, and technical awards for costume design, cinematography, special effects, etc.
Mm-hmm.
There are also subsets of the Filmfare Awards, like the OTT Awards for web series, the Filmfare Awards South for South Indian industries, and others that honor various other regional industries. Some more fun facts for you. I'm sure you were wondering about the trophy that people win at the Filmfare Awards.
Yes.
So she is known as the Black Lady or the Lady in Black, depending on who you ask.
Ooh.
And she depicts a dancing woman with her arms held aloft.
I mean, that's a lot more fun than the Oscar guy.
It's just a guy standing there.
Yeah.
Doing nothing. The statue is generally made of bronze and weighs 11 pounds. Which
that's
is
heavy.
It's heavy. That's my cat weighs 11 pounds.
You could kill someone with that.
I think you could. Yeah. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if that happens in this TV series.
Right?
But okay, more fun facts. The ceremony was not held in 1986 or 1987 as a form of protest against heavy taxation on film tickets by the government of Maharashtra.
Mm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Gully Boy held the record for the most Filmfare awards across categories with 13. Mm. I had to correct myself to held because there is now a tie, but we will get to that in a moment.
Ooh.
Writer-director Gulzar holds the record for most Filmfare awards total with 22 across categories from 1972 to 2024. Mm-hmm. That was just the last time he won. He could still win more. Dilip Kumar and Shah Rukh Khan are tied for the actor with the most Filmfare awards. They each have 8. And the winner of the Best Actress Award this year holds the record with 6 total wins, but I'm holding on to that as a, that's, you know, I'm going to share who won that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I will also say the same person, the same actress, holds the record for the most consecutive wins. This year is her 3rd in a row.
Okay.
I feel like saying that you could probably guess who it is, but I won't make you guess. But before I get into the award winners for this year, I did want to share a little bit of criticism and controversy with regard to the Filmfare Awards. I read an article by Pulomi Das in The Juggernaut that came out in early 2020, so it's a little out of date, but it still seems like everything that Das is talking about is pretty relevant here. And so Das observes that although they were once considered the Oscars of the Hindi film industry, the Filmfare Awards have become a little meaningless. There's not the same, like, clout to having won a Filmfare Award as there used to be.
Uh-huh.
And certainly there's room to criticize the Oscars. They have their own issues, but interesting that there's not that same prestige that does still go along with having won an Oscar.
Right.
So first of all, there are no clear criteria for being nominated or for winning a Filmfare Award. Although any Hindi film with a theatrical run can be nominated, the best film winners of the last several years have had very little diversity in terms of their content, in terms of who made them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really a surprise.
Right. And so the voting system is also such that the public vote leads to a short list of nominees that then the quote-unquote committee of experts chooses the winners from. But there's no clarity on who is on this committee. There's not a published list of who are the ones making that choice, and no disclosures of any potential conflicts of interest. So certainly people could be voting on their own movies. Right. As Doss says, in quote, in essence, the film fairs are an award ceremony that can reward anyone it likes and pass it off as a majority decision, or worse, representative of the caliber of an entire film industry. There's also favoritism, with a lot of actors having gone on record saying that a Filmfare award can be bought. It seems like there has been speculation in the past that people, actors who performed at the Filmfare Awards, were then more likely to win an award. So there's this weird kind of exchange happening there.
Yeah.
And then the debut award has historically, not always, but very often, gone to Nepo babies following their debut in the industry. This is where I do think we should reinsert a fun fact, which is that Hrithik is the only actor to have won Best Debut and Best Actor for the same role.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, but anyway. And, you know, and I think
it is cool.
there was still some prestige back in the early aughts, I think.
Yeah.
So Das then shares a quote from stylist Sana Beydi, who asks, quote, if you're not going to extend your net beyond the five movies that have been promoted endlessly through the year and act as a discovery platform for an audience still cultivating an appetite beyond masala entertainers, what good is your existence? So, like, there's this opportunity as the industry is going through these changes to really amplify the voices of the people who are taking those risks and pushing those changes. And the Filmfare Awards are not doing that. They're decidedly doing exactly the opposite. And again, you know, this brings us back to our ongoing conversation about, like, what are the things that are holding the Hindi cinema world back, or what are, you know, what's making it so that movies just haven't been as good in recent years? And I think one could reasonably argue that the Filmfare Awards not having this clear criteria or a transparent nomination process, and therefore not actually rewarding excellence, just rewarding whoever they want to reward, it gives no one really any motivation for innovation. Like, even someone like Karan Johar, who has the power where if he took a risk and it didn't pay off, nothing bad's going to happen to him. He doesn't have any motivation to take a risk because he can just win a Filmfare Award no matter what he cranks out.
Right, right.
Das then quotes film scholar Omar Ahmed, who says, quote, the waning relevance of the Filmfare Awards has a lot to do with the fact that even decades later, it still hasn't embraced the creative importance of independent, alternative, and marginal films. And Das then ends the article with another quote from Beydi. Never before in the history of Indian cinema has an award ceremony been so clueless about the achievements of its own film industry. Yeah.
Hmm.
So just clearly very
That's
out of
a bummer.
Touch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a party put on by the elite for the elite.
That's literally exactly the way, like, I was, you know, I was looking at people's posts on Reddit and other things, and that's like literally the way they describe it. It's like, it's the glitz and glamour, but it's no substance, and it's not really for anybody other than the people who are already in the world.
Right.
And, you know, the Oscars have also been accused of being out of touch, but sort of for the exact opposite reason, because they too often are like rewarding the movies that are so obscure that nobody has ever seen them.
Right, unless
you're like a filmy person. And so, you know, there's, I'm sure there's a happy middle ground that somebody could make it to. But so this year's Filmfare Awards were not immune to this type of criticism. And I think a good example of the kind of thing they're talking about is the fact that both Stree 2 and Bulbulaya 3 were nominated for Best Picture.
What?
And I know we didn't watch Bulbulaya 3, but, like, I think we can assume
Stree 2?
Stree 2 does not deserve awards.
No. It's, like, entertaining, sure, but it's not a quote-unquote, like, good film.
No. Like, sure, if you want to give it, like, a special effects award, which, absolutely, I wouldn't argue with that, but,
even like a comedy, you know, or like
not best film. It was not the best film.
and it wasn't even in the top 5 or 10 best films.
Yeah, and it didn't win, but it was nominated. I also, like, Hrithik was nominated for Fighter, which, like, I love Hrithik. Hrithik's great, but Fighter wasn't necessarily a good performance from him. Like, I don't necessarily feel like that warranted
a nomination.
It didn't
really require anything from him.
No, he just kind of showed up. And it was also, like, a badly written character.
Yeah.
But so Kartik Aryan won Best Actor for Chandu Champion.
Okay.
And it seems
that I'm good with.
I'm also good with that. There were people who were critical and saying that Kartik gave a mediocre performance in that movie. I thought he did good. And I also think, he went through a pretty intense physical transformation for that movie. Like, not that I think that not that I think that that's always what needs to be awarded, but the fact that he did it in a healthy way and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him. And also, Abhishek Bachchan, I guess they tied, I think, but he also won Best Actor. So that's cool. I don't know. I don't remember what the movie was that he won for. But so it is Alia Bhatt who is she won Best Actress. This is her sixth win. 3 years. She's won consecutively the last 3 years, which also really people are not happy about because the movie she won for is Jigra. Not a great film. And I do think she gave a good performance, but like, really, do I think she gave the best? And we haven't watched every movie that came out, but like, do I really think she gave the best performance?
I feel like you have to have two things. You can't just have a good actor. The role also has to be well developed and well created with the performance of a good actor. And then together, those things can make up the performance that wins, like, Best Actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we often see at Western Film Awards, and not that that is, like, the end-all be-all in any sense, but, like, when a movie's bad, you don't often see people getting rewarded for their participation in it in any sense. Like, sure, that's not, like, a universal truth, but, like,
it's very rare. Yeah.
But some things that I think were more deserved. Rajkumar Rao won the Critics Award for Best Actor for Shrikant, which when we watched that, so I feel like we literally said, like, he's definitely going to win awards for this. And he did.
It was so good.
He did great in that.
I forgot about that movie until just now. Wow.
And, like, again, not a great movie, but, like, it's, I think, again, it's when actors can kind of, like, transform for a role.
That we didn't even recognize him.
Yeah, that they, you know, he did so much with his mannerisms and everything. And then Pratibha Ranta won Best Actress for the Critics category for Lapita Ladies. So she was the runaway bride.
yes.
In Lapita Ladies. Which brings me to, again, very deserved, Lapita Ladies is the movie that is now tied with Gully Boy for the most Filmfare awards. It won 13 awards.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And it was nominated for, I think, 24.
Wow.
Which is bonkers. But so it won Best Film, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Music, Best Supporting Actor and Actress. And that's Ravi Krishan, who played the cop, and Chaya Kadam, who played the stallkeeper, who is also she's the one who was also in All We Imagine Is Light. So she's having a great year.
She did have a great year, yeah.
And they also got the award for Best Female Debut for the actor Nitansha Goel, who, as far as I can tell, is not a Nepo baby. And in a bit of a life-imitating art moment, Lakshya won Best Male Debut for his film Kill.
Okay.
And this is why I got confused about this before, because, like, I think he has done other things, because that movie actually came out in 2023. So I don't think the only things he's been in have been Kill and
this.
Bads of Bollywood, but he's still a new actor.
Yeah.
And also, interestingly, I learned that this was his third attempt at making a debut. He was in two films that got shelved before he was in this movie, Kill. One of which seemed to be shelved for, like, creative differences, shall we say, between Karan Johar and, I think they said, Kartik Aryan. So that's interesting. But so he finally got to be in one and got to debut.
So on IMDb, he had some credits from 2017 that look more like mini series, like even maybe like cartoonish series, like or some, you know. But then it's Kill in 2023, and then Bads of Bollywood.
Okay, 2025. So this actually is like a pretty significant point in his career. Like, this is the second thing that people are really seeing him in.
Yeah, I like his look. Like, I feel like I'm not getting enough of him as an actor to be like, oh, wow, I really like this actor. But I do like that he's not flashy, if that makes any sense. Like, he, you know?
There are moments where he reminds me of Ranbir Kapoor. Like, it, just in the way, in the way that he kind of approaches his acting, which is a little more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't dislike him. I'm also not like, oh my god, he's amazing. But I'm all, I'm like, he seems perfectly decent, and I'd be happy to watch more stuff with him. It actually looks like the movie Kill did pretty well. So
yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, I'm curious. Yeah. Like, I'm like, okay, let's see more. I mean, I appreciate his vibe more than a hotshot kind of vibe. Which, obviously, they're actors. You can't really tell, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they could have gone in a different direction that wouldn't have been as effective. Because he does, you know, there's a certain realness to him as a person. Yeah. And maybe it's just because we haven't seen him in other things. Maybe. It's easy for him to for us to believe that he is this new actor on the scene, because he is.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's it. That's the Filmfare Awards for you.
Thank you. I appreciate learning more.
Yeah.
But cool. Any Bollywood stuff?
No. Bollywood, the Filmfare Awards were going to be my Bollywood news. And then I was like, you know what? This is my research.
I mean, it fits with the show. And it does. Do think we can predict that I will probably delve into some reviews and things.
Yes.
Next time.
That seems likely.
Right. But before we talk about next time, we got to do our pluggables. Which is, follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. Do what you do there. I swear, I really am going to update that.
I believe in you. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could even leave a rating or review if you feel so inclined. But whatever you do or do not do, thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you very much. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch. And you can listen to those playlists when you find the links that we have secreted, hidden away.
Away. You have to go looking for them now.
You do not. We proudly display them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts.
Yeah, you could just go to our latest Instagram post, which was months ago, and find it there.
Well, and the playlist hasn't been updated in a minute either, so but that's fine. We're still
We're doing great.
We're doing great. Yeah. The world's falling apart around our ears, so we're just doing the best we can.
Yeah. This is our passion project.
Exactly.
Wonderful. So for next time, surprise, surprise, we are finishing Bads of Bollywood.
Yes.
So we're watching episodes 5 through 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So until next time.
Right? I think, maybe. We could just head right into the outro. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Bollywood may need less bads. Not necessarily meaning anything about this series, but just like, you know, bad people.
Yeah, be better.
Nobody needs bad people.
No.
Yeah.
Be good.
Be good.
There you go. Life advice. Be good.
Yep. Excellent.